What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
The U.S. has topped more than 400,000 deaths from COVID-19, just over a month after the death toll surpassed 300,000. And how Janet Yellen, Biden's pick for Treasury Secretary, wants to get the country out of the pandemic slump.
With interest rates at historic lows, the smartest thing we can do is act big. In the long run, I believe the benefits will far outweigh the costs, especially if we care about helping people who've been struggling for a very long time.
We'll have more details from her Senate confirmation hearing. Plus, why burger chains are battling it out over chicken sandwiches. It's Tuesday, January 19th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The U.S. has surpassed 400,000 coronavirus-related deaths just a month after hitting 300,000, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. The rising death toll comes as the U.S. struggles to roll out vaccinations. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, just 12.3 million people had received their first dose of the vaccine as of Friday. In an interview with The Wall Street Journal, incoming CDC Director Rochelle Walensky says she'll begin by helping states fix their vaccination programs and encouraging mitigation measures. She also said she'll work to restore trust in the CDC and allay any fears about taking the vaccines. Prosecutors have filed the first conspiracy charges connected to the Capitol riot. The complaint is against three rioters who authorities say were part of a right-wing militia group called Oath Keepers and acted in an organized and practiced fashion. That included allegedly communicating during the invasion about where lawmakers were and appearing to suggest the possibility of gassing them in the tunnels below the building. For the first time, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is casting blame on President Trump for the violent attack at the Capitol. He spoke as the Senate returned to session today.
The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people. And they tried to use fear and violence to stop a specific proceeding of the first branch of the federal government, which they did not like.
McConnell says he is considering whether to vote to convict Trump during his second impeachment trial. That will take place after Trump leaves office. A two-thirds supermajority in the Senate would be needed to convict, meaning 17 Republicans would need to join all Democrats. In a farewell address posted on Twitter and YouTube today, President Trump condemned the riot, calling for unity and sending well wishes to the new administration. He did not mention President-elect Joe Biden by name. In the 20-minute scripted speech, Trump also touted his policy legacy and signaled that he hopes to remain a force in U.S. politics.
Now, as I prepare to hand power over to a new administration at noon on Wednesday, I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning.
Trump has said he will not attend Biden's inauguration tomorrow. Instead, he is planning to attend a send-off ceremony at Joint Base Andrews with his own invited guests. U.S. stocks rose today after the long holiday weekend. The Dow rose 116 points, or 0.4%. The S&P 500 gained 0.8%, and the Nasdaq rose 1.5%. In its earnings report today, streaming giant Netflix said it topped 200 million subscribers for the first time last year. It added a record 37 million subscribers in 2020 as consumers spent more time at home during the pandemic. Big banks also surpassed expectations. Our markets reporter Akani Otani has more.
Investors pretty much got what they were expecting, I think, from the latest string of bank earnings, which is results showing that the biggest U.S. banks continue to be affected by the coronavirus pandemic and are very much still factoring that into what they expect to see over the coming quarters, but for the most part are still showing a real resilience and even in some cases thriving. I mean, take Goldman Sachs, for instance. It actually had its best year for trading revenue in 10 years. And so that's a real example of how some of these institutions are actually doing a lot better than maybe investors had feared heading into the crisis last year.
They were also watching for signs from former Fed Chair Janet Yellen while she testified at her confirmation hearing today.
Janet Yellen's testimony before the Senate Finance Committee was another one of those things that I think investors have largely been expecting to see play out the way it did, but we're nonetheless relieved to see. I mean, she's been quite vocal about her support for the Biden administration's spending plans and the need for additional spending to support the economy's recovery from the pandemic. And I think that those sentiments have generally been quite supportive of this trend that we've seen in the last couple of weeks of small caps outperforming large caps, which they did on Tuesday as well, and longer-term bond yields rising.
Coming up after the break, we'll talk more about Yellen's testimony and her vision for the U.S. economy.
You're a growing business, and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
During her testimony before the Senate Finance Committee today, Janet Yellen, President-elect Joe Biden's pick for Treasury Secretary, pledged to make American workers her focus. The former Fed chair has spent more than three decades at the forefront of economic policy. Here now to talk about her vision for the future is The Wall Street Journal's Kate Davidson, who covers the Federal Reserve and the U.S. economy for The Wall Street Journal. Hi, Kate. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Anne-Marie. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about Janet Yellen's testimony during her nomination hearing today, where she encouraged lawmakers to act big.
Neither the president-elect nor I proposed this relief package without an appreciation for the country's debt burden. But right now, with interest rates at historic lows, the smartest thing we can do is act big. In the long run, I believe the benefits will far outweigh the costs, especially if we care about helping people who've been struggling for a very long time.
Kate, before we get to that point about the debt, tell us more about the type of action Yellen is advocating here to boost the U.S. economy.
President-elect Biden last week unveiled a nearly $2 trillion economic relief package, and he views that as actually just the first in a two-part program to get the economy back on track. So the first part is dealing with sort of the immediate economic emergency, if you will. It would give money for a national vaccination program, and officials have emphasized that's kind of most important spending to get the pandemic under control. But it would also provide economic relief for people who are still struggling and out of work. As we know, there are a bunch of sectors that have been really hard hit by the pandemic, you know, travel and leisure, hospitality, restaurant workers, people in the services industry who tend to be lower income workers. And so what the plan would do would send another round of economic payments, direct stimulus payments, we often call them. It would extend unemployment insurance for longer and bulk it up a little bit, make it a little bit bigger, return the payments. Remember, we had those $600 weekly payments last year. It would return them, but at a lower level, at about $400. And it would give more aid for small businesses and money for states, state and local governments. So that's kind of a sense of, a broad sense of some of the things that they're thinking about that will essentially, Yellen says, help us get to the other side of the pandemic and through the next several months, which could be really difficult, as we know, with the virus and just continuing to spread.
So let's talk about that debt issue. You wrote about this for The Wall Street Journal and about how much is too much for the U.S. to take on. Republicans have also expressed concerns about the size of President-elect Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus package. What did Yellen say about debt concerns today?
Yeah, she made some really interesting comments. And I think that this is one of the reasons we thought this story was timely and important to think about, because the debt is very high right now, and it's high as a share of GDP. It's at around 100%. But there's sort of this emerging economic consensus that we know, there's this economic fact that over the past few decades, interest rates, our borrowing costs, have tended to come down. They've been lower, steadily decreasing. And essentially what that means is that borrowing has become much more affordable affordable. So even while the debt has grown much, much bigger over even just the past 10 years, and of course, in the, just the past 12 months, as we've been spending to fight the pandemic, the cost, the interest payments on that debt have declined because interest rates are so low and inflation is so low. And so Janet Yellen essentially recognized that. She talked about that in her testimony. And we even heard the president-elect Biden talk about that last week. I think this is a message his economic advisors like Janet Yellen and others are giving to him, that this is why it's important to continue deficit financing some of these measures, essentially borrowing money to pay for them right now, because that will help the economy in the long run. That is the argument. Now, she also recognized that over the long term, over the next few decades, the debt is still very high, and it will be important to make some difficult decisions to tackle that. But that's sort of a separate issue from the emergency spending that needs to happen right now.
And these were both kind of outlined in that dual mission that Yellen talked about, the first being getting the nation through the pandemic. And here's what she said about what happens after that.
But then there's the longer term project. We have to rebuild our economy so that it creates more prosperity for more people and ensures that American workers can compete in an increasingly competitive global economy. Members of the committee, these are very ambitious goals, and I know we will need to work together. You can count on me to do that in a bipartisan way.
Kate, what else can you tell us about Yellen's longer-term plans for growth?
So it's interesting. This is something she actually talked about even when she was the Fed chairwoman, and she talked about it at the beginning of 2020, the need for making more long-term investments that will help the economy's productivity. And essentially, these are things like spending on healthcare, investments in infrastructure, investments in clean energy jobs and manufacturing. These people might wonder, well, what does that have to do with the pandemic? It's obviously not directly related, but they view it, these kinds of programs, spending programs, as really, they provide an important bang for the buck for the economy. They help make the economy more resilient, make workers more productive, and that helps people's standard of living. It just sort of helps the U.S. economy overall. And going back to what we were talking about with the debt, Biden officials are also saying this could help stabilize the debt picture. Even if debt goes up, if we're boosting the economy, bolstering the strength of the economy and the recovery, that will actually make the debt picture look better because essentially we're saying it's worth it. It's worthwhile to make these improvements and help the economy. She was careful to say that they haven't totally decided how they're going to pay for some of these investments. You know, so maybe there'll be some more borrowing, or maybe if these are a little bit later, you know, after this year, you know, end of the year into next year, maybe they'll raise taxes. They've talked about doing that, raise taxes on the wealthy to offset some of the spending. So that's still not clear, but she made the case for why these kinds of investments are important right now.
Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson. Kate, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, you might remember the Whopper versus Big Mac battle. Well, there's a new fast food war on over chicken. Fried chicken sandwiches from Popeyes and Chick-fil-A have gone viral in recent years. Now, our restaurant reporter Heather Haddon says other U.S. food chains are getting in the ring.
There's a lot of interest and buzz over these sandwiches. And, you know, coming out of the pandemic, I think a lot of folks are maybe ready for something kind of new and fun. So they're also hoping to keep customers coming to their drive-thrus, ordering delivery as this pandemic goes on by introducing something new and kind of fun.
At least 10 chains, including McDonald's, Shake Shack, and Jack in the Box, have either introduced fried chicken sandwiches in the past 3 months or plan to debut them soon. Heather says they're making a financial bet.
They have to often invest in equipment that can handle this kind of hand breading and fresh preparation for the ones doing it. It involves training. It involves procuring that chicken supply and buns and other things.
But Heather says burgers are still king of fast food. They outperform chicken sales 3-1. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.